If you like weird, spooky, and strange history, then I have the podcast for you. My name is Brenda, and I'm the host of Horrifying History. Are you into the dark side of history? Horrifying History tells you about the side of history that people don't normally talk about. We tell the tales of haunted places, infamous true crimes, the paranormal, and unsolved mysteries, and then we look to history to see where the truth actually lies. Want to get spooky with us? Get your Horrifying History fix by subscribing today on your favorite podcast provider or by going to our website at horrifyinghistory.podbean.com.
I'm Maddie.
Yeah, I'm Amber.
And we're Witches Talking Tarot.
We are the weirdos in the story.
Like a song, like a sand snubble.
Flip the switch and let the cauldron bubble. Sam.
Wow.
Hey, everybody, I'm Amber.
And I'm Maddie.
And we're Witches Tarot. And today, we have a wonderful special guest joining us for an exciting tarot reading episode because we're going to be tarot reading and more today. So, Brenda, would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them like all about your show and where they can find you? And then we'll get into the reading.
Okay, so I am the host of the podcast called Horrifying History, and Horrifying History can be found on any podcast provider. We release our episodes every Wednesday, and if you guys want even more spooky stuff than that, you need to check out our social media, because we're on Facebook at Horrifying History, Instagram, and Threads, which I'm honestly not on very much. I mean, Instagram I am, but not Threads, at Horrifying _ History, and on X, which I hate that name, at Horrifying HIST1. But I just hate that name. But what we do is we talk about not just history, but we talk about the dark side of history. And with that comes with some true crime, it comes the paranormal, but we also take a deep dive to see, is it even possible? And with these ladies, I already did I think it was season two, I did an episode on the history of tarot. So I absolutely love talking tarot. I've been That's reading exciting. My own cards for years. So very excited That's to cool. be here.
I was going to say, I don't think I've heard that episode. I'm going to go find it.
I know that you said, Amber, we're going to be talking tarot and other things.
Yes.
Yeah, because you never know what my reading's going to say.
On brand.
I know. So
our show is Witches Missed Talking Tarot and Other Things.
Don't you know how our readings go? Have you heard or listened to any of our reading episodes?
I have, but explain it to everybody because I'm too busy looking at your colored microphone and really kind of want one.
Yeah.
Aren't those fabulous?
They are season three additions. Thank you to our patrons, Death by DVD,
Melissa,
Victoria,
and Pam.
We appreciate y'all. You helped buy, you bought these microphones. Like, that's bottom line. Thank you guys. Yeah, I was like just on Amazon, and I know Maddie really loves the aesthetic microphone, and we used to just have the clip-on ones. So like I was on Amazon and I knew that we had enough in our account, and these were like on sale for over $30 each. And I was like,
what a great deal. They're cute. Yeah.
They are.
They do. And like, that's what having the Patreon all is all about. Like, help our supporters help us make a better show. And so like, we credit these and the fireplace YouTube views. Not sure if we're right. So if you are watching this on YouTube, go ahead and comment, like, let us know. Why do you watch the YouTube? We want to know. Help us out with our research. It's easier if you just tell us.
Subscribe, because we are literally 2 subscribers away from our goal of 200 subscribers. Oh my gosh.
Well, yeah, we're making it big. So
hit
the way
that button.
That's right. And now I figured out how to put it there at the end. So it'll be a convenient little thingy at the end for you. Yeah. I'm learning something every day with podcasting.
Amber's our tech
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it makes sense though, because I used to do tech support for a living.
Well, and I'm going to be honest with you, this guy I sat next to in computer applications never let me cheat off him. So now I have no idea. And I married the asshole. and he still
doesn't teach you.
No, that's okay. Giving him trouble. I'm like, no, I failed that class. Thank you.
My husband for like the first two seasons of the podcast was like, I can make y'all a theme song. I can make you a theme song. I can.
Did he do
so
it?
Finally I made us an AI because it didn't happen. But he was going to. But instead I learned how to do it on my own. And you know what? That's better. Because like I saw a meme recently that was like, you know, it's about duality. I do the dishes and he tells me what that sound in my car is. And I was like laughing because I can do the dishes and I can also tell my husband what that sound in his car is, like when the rotors go out.
Well, Tyler, what's he good for?
He also can do the dishes.
He also can.
And other things.
Okay, so I was wondering, do you mind if I pull the two across?
Sure.
Okay.
So real quick, while shuffling, so the way that our Witches Talking Tarot specific spread, like this is specific to the show, I think we only use it on the show. Yes. It's an 8-card reading. So the very first card that is pulled represents the energy of you or around you in this moment. The next, well, like, and I say it that way because like tarot, people will be like, oh, tarot reads the future. No, tarot reads the energies, and the energies say, this is what's going on right now. This is what happened. You can't change the past. So it's just like, it's reading the past. It's reading the present. And then it's giving you an idea based on all those energies, what's coming up in the future. The thing about that is tarot is just a tool because it lets us know what's coming up in the future. That knowledge with the current energies and decide, is that the outcome we want? Do we want to make changes? We have free will. We can make those changes to make the outcome something that works better for our goals.
For me, I find that tarot is just exactly that, is a tool. And it's a tool to allow us to focus our energies, to be able to interpret what's around us. And that's really what its purpose is. A lot of people have a lot of negative connotation towards it, but people, let's just put it plainly, it's cards. and we're using our own tools that have been given to us or we've developed in our life to be able to interpret them.
I agree completely. I do. Now, I do believe, you know, 100% that there is a magical divinatory connection with tarot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you allow it, it's not just going to be there, though. Without anything put in by the user, they are merely a deck of cards.
Correct.
They are.
I agree.
Yeah. So the first card is you and your energies now. The next four cards are the next four upcoming pieces of time. In theory, it's about the next 4 weeks. We call it a month-long reading. But time is but a construct of man. Time really means nothing. So these four cards represent the next pieces of time. It may be something more like 6 weeks as opposed to 4 weeks. You know, sometimes it's the next cycle beginning, you know? So sometimes these events, they are, you know, the next four things that happen after what you're dealing with closes out, if that makes sense. Just because like I've gotten some feedback, you know, like, longer than 4 weeks to play out. And that is why I want everyone to keep in mind that time is but a construct of man.
But and add on top of that, one very important thing. If a person's stuck in a cycle, their own cycle, it's going to be over a 4 or 6 week time. It's going to be longer than that, possibly. And tarot could be a way to direct them, say, hey, you're in this really crappy cycle and you need to pull yourself out.
I agree 100%.
These fell out to me. I'm so sorry. I think these are about me, and I am only saying that because I got a distraction.
Oh, sure.
Be careful who you give generosity to. With the, like, come to a stop. That's what I feel like it's saying. Like, be careful who you're generous with, and put a stop to that, because this is the travel card. That's also like the stop. The
moving
card.
Forward on a new adventure.
But being
but reversed, it's reversed. It's yeah.
Does that do you get okay? So you do, you okay. think these are for me, not for her?
That also strikes to me too. So
oh, it does.
Because well, not only am I going on vacation next week. But yes, there has been a situation recently with myself that I know I've been way too kind to way too long. And, yeah, that's got to stop.
Fair enough. Well, you know what? I would say that, you know, in my own beliefs, as it comes to my tarot readings, when I feel like the cards are not for the person, like sometimes I'll set it aside to share with them. Sometimes I'll see, does something else. That's pretty much because a lot of the cards deal with similar themes, right? Mm-hmm. So if a similar theme comes up, then I'm like, oh, that was not indeed for me. It really was for them. But otherwise, like I try to trust my intuition on letting you know what popped out, but going, I don't know that that was for you, and you get to make that decision. And so I would hold that, you know, that warning in your head, because that's definitely a warning. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
And how did so that warning come up for you, since I can only see so far on the screen? Like, how
two cards just popped out at the same time, those two cards that I'm actually shuffling for two cards right now for you. Oh. But, you know, I actually got a phone call. Don't know if you noticed
yeah,
in the middle of this thing and that I did not answer, or this reading that I did not answer. And I think it could have been in reference to the phone call. Yes. I think it was
that. Yeah. But if it strikes you, this is my full belief. Like, if it strikes you, take that. Take
well,
that
we'll
advice.
See what the next
you know
two
I mean?
Cards say.
Yes.
Well, and those cards will be the advice cards. So the last card that I will draw will be you at the end of the time period, right? So okay. I'm drawing you at the beginning of the time period, four cards that represent approximately 4 weeks or so in your life mm-hmm. coming up. And then you at the end of that time period, and Maddie is drawing the advice from the universe as it pertains to those situations. One is about outside forces, and one is about like you and how you react, behave. Maddie's kind of intuitive guide will tell you what those exact advice cards are intended
okay,
for.
Okay, these
if
are
that
all
makes
for her.
Sense.
I'm sorry, these are all for her.
Yeah.
What Uh-oh. The actual?
Are you talking like a deck?
just three, but they're
it's
all
like
major
you,
arcana.
It's like you're playing Uno for a second there. It's like, oh my god.
Do it's all
my house.
Okay, so how am I going to do this? This is
okay.
I do have stuff going on. I'm not going to say what. Okay.
So where are you? You said you're going on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, these are.
Is it? Are you going somewhere tropical?
Am I allowed to say where?
Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, it's up to you. Whatever you're comfortable.
Vegas, baby.
Oh, heck yeah. Make some money. Make it rain.
Well, it sounds so stupid, but I did this in 2018. I just kind of looked at the husband. I'm like, why don't we just go to Vegas and go hit some Gordon Ramsay's? And he's like, deal. So we're going to eat. So we're booked at all the Gordon Ramsay's. And if you watch Bravo, we're going to Vanderpump Paris. And the first night we're going to the cocktail lounge. I even went and got some Vanderpump Rules t-shirts for us to wear.
That's
yes,
cool.
I'm that much of a nerd.
That's so cool. That's so, no, when my dad's an interesting character and he loves Vegas. So any excuse to go to Vegas. So when my little cousins, so my cousins' oldest sons, when they graduated from high school, my dad was like, oh, graduation present, taking you guys to Vegas. And so I got to go as chaperone.
Oh, that's not as fun.
Or,
but it's Vegas.
Oh my gosh. Like, I'm sure that my cousin doesn't listen. So, like, my little cousin was all like, looks like you're using two different bait pens there. And I was like, shut the fuck up. That's what it looks like I'm doing.
They're the same thing, and you're grounded.
Yeah, right. I was like, leave me alone. I know your parents. And he was like, let me try it. And I was like, your mother will kill me.
What happens
like,
in Vegas
away.
Stays
in Vegas. And go away, little boy. Go away. I am here for my own fun. But my dad and I are great big dorks too. And my dad's name is Guy. So we were outside of the Guy Fieri restaurant. So we have pictures, like a whole series of different poses because we were in front of Guy's restaurant and my dad's Guy. So we were like, this is his place. Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't eat there though, because like it was closed. Like it was only open on like Friday and Saturday nights or some bullshit. It was some bullshit hours.
I'm booked in Hell's Kitchen. I want to see some fighting.
What the shit?
My sister, bring it down.
A Gordon Ramsay restaurant in was it Kansas City or St. Louis or some? No, I think it was Boston. I don't know.
I went to the Boston one. Boston's great.
She spent $300 on a steak, and she said it was the best steak that she has ever had. She was like, "I have never felt. I don't feel bad." She's like, "They spent like damn near $600, and she does not." Oh,
you have to open your wallet, but it's worth every penny. And when I went to Boston, wherever we travel, there's a Gordon Ramsay. We hit it. And when we went to Boston last year, we booked there, of course. And let me tell you, not only did I walk out with an empty wallet, but I got the waiter gave me his phone number and invited me to stay at his house to go to Pride in New York City. I think that was worth the money.
Oh my gosh, I bet that was awesome. Yeah.
Isn't that like worth the money going?
Absolutely. Oh my God. So I got a wrong number text the other day and I was like playing around with it because she was like, "Can you come to the barbecue?" And I was like, "Well, what's on the menu?" And she was like, "Wait, is this not Lena?" And I was like, "Well, no, I wanted to know what you guys were having.
I could be Lena, depending on what you're serving."
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, I need to know what's at this barbecue. No, she did respond back. She was all like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I dialed the wrong number. Like, I hope this didn't bother you." And I was like, "No, you're fine. Like, no worries.
Are you having fried chicken?"
Right?
Right.
I wish I can't eat meat, but that's why I need to know what was at the barbecue. Like, you got to have some grilled corn. Like, what are we having? Oh. But like, we did this back and forth and she's like, "Oh my God, what a happy accident. If you're not doing anything this weekend and you're in the Miami area, you can come to the barbecue with me."
I would totally
And I was
go.
Like, damn it. My husband was like, "Go to Miami." I'm not going to go for a barbecue in Miami.
Think I'm not going to go to gay pride in New York City?
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to
be putting on some pasties and some chaps. Count me in. And that's what happens when I drink alcohol. So, I get just invited to random places.
Right? Yeah, that's the way to live life. If you have fun with it, people have fun with you.
Well, tell me what those cards say. Am I going to have fun in Vegas? Am I going to win big?
Yeah.
Or is something diabolical going to happen? Because that's possible.
My Lord of the Rings deck and I, we have like this different relationship. I find the cards that are hot to the touch. That's why I'm like just letting the chit chatting happen while I pick the cards.
Well, and I apologize if you see me on my cell
phone. No, you're good. I understand.
Thank you. Family emergency. So yeah. I'm sending some text messages, but I am so ready for this reading because
three cards.
You major arcana, not just three cards, major arcana.
Well,
like,
for advice.
I can't.
Well,
the
advice comes at the end.
Yes. Let me tell you, if you guys call it, I'm just so curious to see if you're going to call it because I actually messaged my girlfriend today and I'm like, yeah, because she wanted to go of course to lunch and I'm like, firstly, no, I'm old and it's Sunday and I want a nap, and secondly, more importantly, I'm going to be recording later in the afternoon. And then she goes, "What are you doing?" So I told her and she's like, "Can I go?" "No, but I'll tell you." And she knows there's a situation, there's a lot of people involved in a situation, not ruining things, but
I don't want to.
I'm
know.
So curious if you're going to pull it up and then you're going to pull up like, you know, like a ten of swords and say, "Brenda, don't stab her." And I'll be like, "Oh, I don't know if I can actually commit to not."
Well, the ten of swords isn't about stabbing somebody, so it's okay.
Two questions for you.
It's about getting in the hold swords for you.
One, are you in your basement right now?
I am a basement.
Okay, yes. That's a real nice basement. I just
like you
that.
Have
that
a fireplace in your nice basement. And
let me explain this. When we moved in here 4 years ago, this was cement. This was cement.
Oh, you
and that was
on it.
It was freezing cold, but the thing is, this house was built in the late 90s. Why wouldn't you have developed the basement and then made more space? So COVID, my husband's like, "I'm gonna go and get myself more power tools and I'm gonna build a basement. It will take me 3 months." And I'm like, that's a lot of crap. I won't be able to have. So that's why some of my shows sound echoey at times or have some different noises in the background, is because I was in a construction zone for 2 years. But I did have some say in this basement, and one of them is that back wall of stone. that I wanted. Yeah. But also what you don't see is actually behind this door, you'll see there's a stairwell kind of going up, and behind underneath mm-hmm. those stairs is a secret bar.
Nice.
Why not?
Yeah, that's life the kind of house I need. Short. Yes.
Yeah. I put a bar under the stairs that has a fridge installed with coffee or whole coffee station. And I'm like, I'm making the perfect podcasting place. So all these walls and the ceiling, everything's soundproofed.
That's so awesome. Like, that's so much better than my under the stairs. Like when I was a kid, one of my favorite things, my dad's not a handyman. He built me a shop under the stairs in our garage. Yeah. There was this under the stairs spot, basically where your secret bar is. Uh-huh. I had a secret grocery store.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cute. And I ran it. Or you know what I would love, Amber? I would love one of those cute little she sheds, like to turn my into a friend.
I have one, but it's not pretty inside. It's not pretty. It just, my husband built it last year because our neighbors, their children are not that kind and destroyed my shed one day when I was not home. No, they're not good kids. So I said to my husband, here's how I invest. Here's what
I'm sorry, I just love the way she said that.
They're not good kids. So I want tall, but not wide. Right. So that way I have a bigger, it looks bigger in the yard. And I want to have like, I could put like my Halloween stuff and then my more Halloween stuff. And then that one Christmas decoration that I'm forced to put up and then more Halloween stuff. And I want to be able to put like hang things. And then you don't, and I says, and you're not allowed to go in because you have a garage. That is now my property. And let me tell you, he built it to spec. It is, it's perfect. So now I want to paint it. And he's like, you can't do it. It's going to ruin it. I want to paint it like Doctor Who TARDIS.
Oh my gosh, it's
I want, well, like, I want it I to want be a blue telephone.
That's awesome. I want a she shed that is painted to match my house.
I know that would
like,
be
dude, some people have a mailbox that looks like their house. Yeah. I want a shed that looks like my
house.
But
then my husband wants the Borg it to be the Borg cube. And I'm like, no, the TARDIS would be so much cooler.
I love it. Cause like just imagine being like, all right, guys, we're going to the studio and then go outside and it's actually a studio and then also there's a coffee spot in there and we can make our own coffee.
We can just sit at the bar coffee. Like
we need more patrons.
I love coffee. I am so up for this. I drink coffee all day long, like all day every day. I have for years. Coffee doesn't keep me awake anymore. Like it might keep wake me awake. Yeah, it might help me wake up in the morning, but I think that's more the routine than anything. Like, I need that flavor. It's not the caffeine itself.
Yeah, I love the flavor.
Because, like, I'd be drinking this shit until, like, I'll take her home. I'll come back home. I'll still be drinking coffee. We go to bed. I'm sipping coffee. And then, you know, I finish up with water just to make sure my teeth don't have all that acid on them all night.
Well, let me explain you how you could solve that because I have friends of mine who say I'm obsessed. But you can get on Amazon. You can get disposable toothbrushes that are preloaded with toothpaste and they have a pick at the end as a flosser. Because the reason why is I had Invisaligns. Short story.
Okay.
I broke my jaw.
Oh, what the fuck?
It wasn't my fault. I was boxing and I thought it would be boxer size, a cute little pink gloves. I just got my butt handed to me for a while. But the point of it is I end up breaking all my knuckles too. I had to have a hand surgery. That's why I have a scar. But I broke a chunk out of my jaw. And I was the first person in Canada to have the jaw fracture fixed because it was changing my bite with Invisalign. And but the problem is with Invisalign, you can only drink water. You have to take them out, brush and floss every time you eat anything. And I'm a grazer. So now I'm addicted to brushing my teeth. So Amazon has these disposable toothbrushes and I get them when I travel because I hate when you take a flight and then you have like flight mouth. You know what I'm saying? Especially if it's an overnight flight. So I just have them on my purse all the time. And my girlfriend booked a wine tasting in September. And so we end up going to this thing. And I'm like, just excuse me, I'm going to go to the washroom. I went because we were drinking red wine, right? You don't want to mess up your teeth. So I went over and she walked in. I didn't realize she decided to follow me in. So she goes in and I just, are you brushing your teeth again? She's a dental assistant. Yes. And she's like, okay, I need to buy some of these. So she's going on a trip. I said, no, I got them on Amazon, which means I got 9 million. So it takes some. I should work for Amazon because all the women in that bathroom when we were wine tasting wanted those toothbrushes. I was nice. I gave one to everybody.
That's so sweet of you. I like when they started coming out, like I understand because my father, he is so obsessed with oral hygiene. He literally has a tooth care kit in every one of his vehicles that has one of those little disposable toothbrushes. It has a little like travel toothpaste. It mm-hmm. has the flossers. It has actual mm-hmm. floss. And it has a little travel cologne because he's got to smell nice.
I don't carry the travel cologne, but all the other tools are in my bag when I go out. Because I'm a little addicted to brushing my teeth. And it was just so funny. She walks, you got to imagine, she's like 4'11". I call her Polly Pocket. So Polly Pocket walks in, are you brushing your teeth again? And I'm like, excuse me, drinking red wine.
Yeah. No, I get it because like, so a couple years ago, I stopped using regular toothpaste and I started using charcoal made from coconut shells, tooth powder. And it's amazing. My teeth have never, like my mouth has never felt so clean. And it got rid of my tobacco stains because I was a cigarette smoker for like 2 decades. And now I'm doing the coconut oil pulling as well because I was either going to make clove oil for mouthwash or I was going to use coconut oil for mouthwash. And then Maddie told me that like oil pulling is the big new fad. And I was like, oh, well, I was thinking about doing that anyway. So now I'm going to try it. And it's amazing because not only does it clean your teeth, like it pulls plaque right off of your teeth, it has helped get rid of the remnants of like my tobacco stains. But it also, it like, it cleans your sinuses and it, it detoxes your blood. It's like fucking amazing. And I wish that the charcoal wasn't so messy because brushing, I have to do it at shower time. Like,
yeah,
it's like
otherwise it looks like a murder scene. It really does.
It does. Well, like I have highly considered just using that for my Halloween costume, just put a mouthful of the charcoal in and then answer the door and like, just let it kind of drip out, you know? Yeah. Like it'll terrify some children and ruin my shirt, but I think it would be a great Halloween costume.
It would be in part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
I think so too. It's all kids. And now a word from one of our fellow podcasters.
Love, family, traditions, presents, pumpkins, fireworks, Santa Claus. All make you think of holidays, right? Well, what about murder, heartbreak, gangsters, and witchcraft? Still thinking about holidays? Beginning this February, I will take you on a journey to the lesser-known sides of the holidays, the sides history might try to forget, the celebrations that you might not be familiar with. Oh, and don't worry, I'll be sprinkling in some elements of normal holiday traditions too. After all, even those of us with a dark side still have a special place in our hearts for the Easter Bunny, Valentine's candy, cute jack-o'-lanterns and ghosts, and of course, all things merry and bright. Let's uncover and celebrate the strange and unusual together. I'm your host, Kristen, and this is Holidays After Dark.
So Maddie had to step away for a phone call.
No worries.
I was going to say, just for the sake of time, so we don't take up too much of your evening, I'll go ahead and start on the reading now that I have all of the cards and hopefully.
Well, we can always do our part of it, talk some history. And then when she comes back, let's do that.
Yes, absolutely. That is beautiful. All right. So you right now. The Seven of Coins. The Seven of Coins is the reaping what you sow card. It is the card of having worked very hard, watching what you're doing monetarily, being being very aware of what you're doing in your, not necessarily your financial life, but your earthly life, right? So coins covers, not only does it cover finances, but it probably is finances based on this fucking reading.
Okay, sorry. I just would like to apologize. Like I said, family emergency, if I'm texting or I get a phone call.
Family is important.
It was absolutely not expected. So yeah. I greatly
unless they're evil, and but yours isn't, so they're
well, I would
I'm kidding. I know your mom.
I'd be like, my family.
I was kidding, Miss right. Maddie's mother, who I don't know if she'd want her name said. So anyway.
Can I touch myself with this? Not sure. Inappropriately.
Also, if you wanted to, if you wanted the Unto the Veil is over there. It's got frankincense and lavender for natural, some spiritual cleaning.
Maybe we'll get some more views with that.
If you just start doing shots of sage, I know you've had a bad day.
Right? Yeah. Like, my go-to is sandalwood, actually. I fucking love me some sandalwood. Prosperity, cleansing, protection. I was raised by hippies, so...
Dragon's blood's a good one. I love lavender and dragon's blood. Those are my go-tos.
So good. Oh, love it.
Smells good. Thank you.
Okay, so... In this moment, you are in the energy of the Seven of Rings, which again is the reaping what you sow card. Okay. Yes.
It often depicted as the person
in a garden who is like, reaping what you sow. You're kind of in the middle of the Garden of Eden. You're not done working, right? Because if you stop working, it's all going to go to shit. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the thing, because the next step in that process is the Eight of Coins, which is working on a long-term project. So it doesn't mean like it's not a rest card, but it's a card that denotes being in a positive place personally. Mm-hmm. And usually, whether it's relating to your health, your money, your state, like your earthly life, right? Words are escaping me, goddammit. It's pissing me off.
It is a materialistic.
It is, right.
But that
doesn't necessarily mean money. Yes. Right. It doesn't mean negatively, and it doesn't mean money. And like the word that I'm trying to go for, but I think material is like the material world is what I was looking for. So thank you.
You got lots of
yes. Interesting. Ace of Wands is in your near future, and the Ace of Wands denotes I was going from the standpoint of the Ace of Wands denotes it denotes forward motion in a new adventure. Wands covers fire. Wands is passion. So it's something that you're passionate about, that you are going off on an adventure with, not like the Fool, right? Because the Fool goes off without planning. In the Ace of Wands place, we have a background of,
Yeah, I know. I'm like, this is going to be great.
Yeah, this is going to be great. Like when I saw all the fucking rings, I was like, shit.
Does that mean I'm winning the lotto? Am I going to win it big in Vegas?
So nice.
Come on. That'd be great.
Well, remember, okay. If you win the lottery, mayhaps. In Vegas, please buy us a She Said, because we gave you the reading that said it.
If you become a millionaire, we have stakes and we have video proof of it. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
I will sue you.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
God. Sorry. My cackle almost came out. So immediately following that new adventure that you begin, right, we are in the energy of the Four of Rings. Now, the Four of Rings is a card of financial stability, but it's a card of being wary of your finances as well. Mm-hmm. Being careful of who you let in and around your finances, who you discuss them with, who you allow into your material world in general, so as to protect that piece of stability. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So again, it's like, it's not a card of rest. It's not a card of, it's a card of, we got work to do. Like we're working, we're actively working, protecting what you're working for. We're actively working toward an end goal that is positive for us, but we don't get to be like, oh yay, we made it. Cause that's not what the cards are saying yet.
Right.
Page of Cups. The Page of Cups is a card of an energy, again, a forward motion energy. It's an energy of taking something that we know and turning it into something even better. Mm-hmm. Cups usually relates to emotions and water. However, with the Page of Cups, it is very much a card of motion and forward momentum versus dealing with emotions or dwelling in emotions. It's more like taking emotions and using them to your advantage to help you complete a project or start a project or possibly even a business as far as the Page of Cups goes. Mm-hmm. What I love about my Lord of the Rings deck is it is depicted by a hobbit.
I knew you were going to say it.
I love it.
I love his little feet.
He created the game of golf. Like, he created for the Lord of the Rings world, he created golf, like, because, like, they had a job of, like, moving stones from one place to another, and they figured out they could use sticks to make it faster, and then he made it into a game. And that's the energy of the Page of Cups, because you're taking something you're doing, you're taking something you know, and you're recreating it into something better. Because if you're getting the job done either way, when you're having fun while you're doing it, it's obviously better, right? Yes, you know? Right. So they're not just whacking stones with sticks.
You'll never work a day in your life.
Exactly. And that is the fucking energy that this card holds.
So do you want to get me to tell you my guess of the interpretation of what that means?
If you would like to.
Okay. So somebody has approached me about a book. And based on my show.
Okay, so the next card in the reading is the world. The world is at your fingertips. The world is at your feet. The world keeps on spinning, and you are right on top of it because you are not underneath yet, because the world does mean eventually it spins around, comes back, you know what I mean? But the world right now in the Lord of the Rings is depicted as the Fellowship of the Rings being happening, right? The fellowship happening, where they're all coming together to save the goddamn world. And it's a good thing, because we know in the ending, Frodo does the thing he has to do because of Galadriel, but that's a different story. Because of that, which he didn't know, helping spur him on. But in the end, you at the end of this time frame is the Ten of Rings. And the Ten of Rings is a card of household prosperity. You have gotten to a point of, you have exceeded all of the other placements in rings. You've gotten through watching your finances. You've gotten through working hard. You've gotten through reaping what you sow. And now you are the matriarch, looking out over everything you've built and enjoying the wealth that you have created from what you have learned in your journey. You're not the queen yet, you're not the king yet, but you're the Ten of Rings, and that is a good place to be.
But you may not be the queen, you may not be the king, but you are the empress. And this is someone who is within their own power, understanding themselves and balanced, you know, learning how to do that balance in life.
Yes, I love this.
I do
too.
This
is such a fucking powerful reading.
The thing that is crossed, okay, is the world. Again, the world is at your feet. You can go anywhere. You can do anything. But since it's crossed,
I got two of them.
Yes, you got it both. You got it twice.
I think it's telling you, because the cross is kind of like the, not really the problem, but like,
like one is you and one is all the outside forces.
Yes, the outside forces. So I would say that you're having to choose whether or not to take that step in, like, the world at your feet. And maybe this is what's preventing you from wanting to do it. We have the Judgment card. And the Judgment card could be...
Okay, sorry. I'll explain why later.
Maybe the Judgment card could be you judging yourself too harshly. It could be another person being like, okay. You know, it's just one of those things that we all have to deal with in life that never goes away, which really sucks.
I really wanted the Fool to pop out for her, because, like, the Fool card coming up would be like, yes, take the step, do it, make the book.
Right.
It didn't happen.
Instead, okay, go ahead and explain, please.
Please explain.
Okay, so going to the earlier part of the reading, I have been thinking for the last 2 years of possibly doing a book based on my show, not getting into details, but the reality of it is, I kind of did the math behind how many pages, because I script my podcast, and how many pages I have per show. If you add that up, I could have written, like, easily Stephen King's The Dark Tower series by now. So I'm like... So then I brought this to a friend of mine who is actually a professional writer. And I said, this is what I'm thinking, which I'm not going to reveal anything. And I said, would you like to, I'm thinking of maybe doing this, but I have no idea because I'm not published. I never have been, and you are. So do you want to join in? So that is one thing that we're going to be working on in the new year. So that is our, so that's our plan. we'll see if it works. But even if it isn't, I honestly don't care if I sell a copy or not. I don't. For me, my podcast, as well as anything that comes out of it, is just my own expression of myself to a certain extent. It's like me on crack. And it's a way almost to make a spooky little community. And so therefore, that's how I view it. So I view success differently than a lot of other people. For me, as long as I pay my bills, I couldn't care less. I would just rather be able to live my life in a healthy and happy and ethical way and put my head on my pillow at night and be able to sleep without any worries. And that's how I live my life, and that's how I'll continue it. Now, nope, going into the whole issue, you kind of pulled on an issue that's coming up. There is a person that's been, I met this individual November, didn't spend a lot of time with them, didn't have a lot of opportunity to get to know them, but April was a chance where that kind of popped up and got to know this individual a bit more. And I feel for this person. And that's where the conflict's coming in. I feel for them because I suffer from generalized anxiety disorder. And this person clearly has anxiety issues, if not having a personality disorder, is not living their life in the way they want to and not living their best life at all. And I feel that I have become symbolism in her life for that to a certain extent, because I'm living my life to the best way I can. Right. And shouldn't we all be doing that? We all have things that hinder us. We all have, you know, illnesses happen. Financial issues happen. These are just things that are here in our lives to learn and grow from. And we just can do the best we can with what we have. And I have been my husband and I have been very diligent on planning our future. And we're in a very, thank God, decent spot, knock on wood. And the reality of it is this person's very unhappy and has been lashing out at our friend group in a lot of different ways. And this person's accelerating. So an incident happened last weekend and one happened before that. And I tried to give this, a lot of incidents happened, but the one that happened 2 times ago pushed my morality to a place at my ethics. I was offended ethically. Does that make sense? Without spoiling?
Yes.
Massively offended me ethically of a person that would do what happened. So I'm very much an open person, as you can tell. And I believe in having an adult conversation. Even if a conversation isn't comfortable, you have the conversation, correct?
Right.
I've had the conversation with this person countless times. It's not working. Pulled another stunt times 2 in one night. And I finally I got in the car to go home, and my husband said, it was a great night, wasn't it? No. And I said, I am tired of going into, and I said, here's how it is. Tired of meeting up with my friends and it being miserable for me. I am very tired of this individual. She needs help, but I can't fix her. That's not my wheelhouse. And it's at the point in my life, Stefan, that's my husband, by the way. I am a caregiver. I worked in healthcare for years.
I'm jealous.
I try to always be the good friend and help people as much as I can and support and be, you know what I mean, that person. But in this situation, I cannot because it's about me now. And then he's like, you know, that's the first time I think I've really heard you say it that way. And I said, well, no, I matter too sometimes. And this person is affecting me in such a negative way. Mm-hmm. I can't allow that to continue. I've talked to them. I tried to coach them. I've tried to support them. I've tried everything in the gambit, and now I'm done. Mm-hmm. And so I got a phone call the next day from another one of a friend's and said, I felt something was going on, and I told this person everything. And I said, here's what's going to happen. I've been protecting you for the last year. I've been protecting you, and I've been protecting my husband and other people in this group, and I'm an idiot. So I'm taking my responsibility. I never should have put myself at a detriment, and I'm not doing it anymore. And honest to God, it was so freeing. And this person has been reaching out to me ever since, and I have not responded and not planning to, and they can go and fly a kite. That's the nicest I'm going to come up with that. Because what they did now, I never told anybody what happened. I just told my husband, and I told my friend because she caught part of it. Mm-hmm. Whole group knows. Everyone's pissed. But here's the thing. I'm not upset about it because I spoke my truth. I handled it in an ethical way. I never trashed the individual, and I beg people don't. You know, if your person's hurting, it doesn't matter why they're hurting. Even if they're lashing out in a really bad way, I wish them the best, and I wish her all the help she can get. But I got a question for you. Are you guys not at the point of your life where it's not your job to fix everybody, but it's time to actually take care of yourself a bit?
Okay, you gotta stop, please, because I just had this conversation with Amber on the way to film this podcast. Like,
Well, and it also touches on stuff we talked about last night.
Oh, yeah, we've been talking about this for over a week. Yeah.
But isn't it true? Like, I'm gonna point it to you. When are you guys gonna matter?
I know.
When am I gonna matter?
Yeah.
I spent so much time coddling and, you know, if I support this person, but then I realized I was just feeding it. So mm-hmm. I made it worse. And then when I said no, firm boundaries, they're not accepting it. Well, is that my problem that they can't accept a boundary? No.
This is the unto the veil oil right here is what it is.
Seriously, like, because this
was meant
stuff
to be today,
we've been
wasn't
talking.
I?
Yes, yes. This was supposed
I've
to happen.
I've got my family emergency. Like, you're
yeah.
But, well, and but I mean, learned.
It goes even beyond.
But I'm going to. But you know what my husband told me? And this is going to sound crazy coming from a guy. But he said to me, Brenda, you got to understand something. He said, I love you with everything I got, but I'm more important than you. And I'm like, huh? What? No. I says, I put you first. He goes, no. You never put me first. You never put anyone first in your life but you. Because ultimately, on your deathbed, who's there but you? He said, if I don't take care of myself first, how am I going to be there and a good husband for you and support everybody in my life? And he goes, you're burning yourself out. And he said, you need to take care of you and I support you however you handle this because this is wrong. Wow, that blew me away. And then to have my girlfriend reach out to me and she's like, done, we're not inviting this person to anything anymore. And I'm like, no, that's not what I want. I don't want another person ostracized. I think as a group, she needs to go and be talked about her behavior because I matter. And when in my brain, this is eating away at me, I'm not mattering anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and it's
so you
also
can only be so kind for so long.
Right. And it's like it's the self-care of putting yourself first, but also not needing retribution against the other person, wanting them to grow as well. Like we've been talking about this. Yeah. Like it touches on that, but also a lot of other things we've been talking about recently, like 100%, because you do have to take care of yourself and put yourself first.
Not to live your dreams, but life is also too short to go and being treated like crap under the veil of family or friends or whatever. Because let's be honest, it's a veil. And it doesn't matter who's in your life. It doesn't matter the situation. You all can act like adults and be respectful. And we can all be here as a humanity and support each other. And that's just the kind of person I am. But this person sucks you dry. Like I got nothing left. There's nothing left. And I regret bringing myself to that point. But that's why I just put my foot down. And I said, I love you all. I said this to everybody, but it's about me now. And that is probably, now I'm going to ask you guys legitimately now that we're having a counseling session. As a female, isn't that a hard thing to say?
Yes.
It's probably the hardest thing we can say. We're trained since birth not to take care of ourselves.
Well, we get put in positions where we feel responsible for the care of others because they're not doing it adequately.
Or
and we
they
wind
expect
up burning
you to do
out.
It for them. Right.
Yes.
And
exactly.
The reality, we're all adults and there's all expectations with that. And I always thought, like, if I hear my girlfriend disparaging themselves, for example, I'm going to be the first one in there saying, why are you saying you're ugly? You're not ugly. You're beautiful inside and out. Because to me, you don't have to look like Kim Kardashian, you know, to be beauty. I've seen some beautiful women out there. And the hate emanates from them. The anger emanates from them. And it just kills any beauty they have. It's not about aesthetics. It's about who you are as a human being. It comes out, right? And I try to be that person. I tried to be that person with them. But they embraced it. And they suck you dry. And this person has sucked every person dry. Every female of our group dry.
Well, and I'm going to say that I see where, like, the six of coins and whatever was
for you,
but I see as it, it's,
I mean, it was a group reading,
well,
because,
like, honestly, like, the six of coins and the four of coins, like, because she got the four of coins. You had the six of coins come out and you felt it was for you. She felt it was for her. But both of those coins both tell you to watch out who you let into your material world. And friendship circles would definitely be your material world. You know what I mean? So yeah, like,
and that's the thing. I find that especially when you get older, people get very nervous about relationships in their lives. I'm like, for example, this is going to sound horrible. I love COVID because I didn't have to leave my house. It's fantastic. Peopling is hard, and people don't give enough credit for realizing how hard peopling can be and the dynamics of that. And I recognize that there's always going to be people, everyone out there has always had bad times in their life. There's some people that take it certain ways or others, but you can't forget to lose yourself in that, like if you're losing yourself in that process. And that was my big smack upside the face this last weekend when this was going down. And I'm like, I don't think so. I'm done with this. Like, I literally am like, I'm done. I can't fix you. I can't fix the world. I got to fix me.
Yeah.
And if that means having another mimosa, then I'm going to have a second mimosa.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there is the self-care of setting boundaries and what you're willing to do for others. There's also the self-care of allowing yourself the extra in life, because why would you not have the second mimosa? Most likely because somebody else said you shouldn't.
Exactly. And that was what I was battling with. I was so worried about everybody else and the dynamics of the group, because this person's very much and I'll give an exact quote. I spin and spin and spin things, and then I come up with my story.
Okay.
So I said, let's look at this. If this was an investigation in a workplace, okay, I used to do investigations, and I said, your behavior, if this was an employer, would be considered two different things. It would be considered harassment. And secondly, and more importantly, when you spin and spin and spin things and say your new truth like it's the truth, that's called a lie.
Yeah, my new truth?
Yeah, that is good. Like, my new truth.
Called a lie.
Bitch.
And I said, and you're rolling with it as if it was the truth, which is causing the problem because you're making false accusations against people. And then when people confront you about that, your answer to is, I'm kidding. Well, when you say things that are disparaging to others, and then you say you're kidding, it doesn't matter. I said, let's just go look at it as if it was murder. First degree, second degree, and third degree. Or manslaughter, okay? First degree is you planned it. Second degree is you didn't plan it, but you still killed somebody and you wanted to do it. And then manslaughter, it's a big accident. I said, that's called mitigating circumstances. So you saying you were kidding, does it change the fact that you committed, say, second degree murder? I was kidding!
No, this is so funny.
You still commit murder. It's a mitigating circumstance. You won't go to prison as long. That's it. You still hurt people by your words and actions.
I am firmly convinced that the universe was like, no, you guys can't record until this weekend so that we could have this conversation, which follows a similar theme of the conversation we had last weekend where I was talking about that friend that wasn't a real friend to me. And now this is going on where it's totally applicable to you. And now that one's that making it like reading. This. Yeah. Really, like, seriously,
you're going
like,
to be thinking about degrees of murder.
It's all kismet. Like, that's what I'm loving about this very moment in time, even though time is but a construct of man. Thank you so much for sitting with us for a spell. If you enjoyed being a part of that 8-card tarot reading, feel free to reach out to us at witchestalkingtarot@gmail.com for your own 8-card reading to get the same experience you just heard for $35. We hope you enjoyed the first part of our discussion with Horrifying History. Make sure you check out the rest of the talk on Thursday. Thanks again for coming to Sit a Spell.